Christmas coming up. Maybe you have a bookworm in the family who you are wondering what to get them. Well, my next guest may be of interest to you. Yes, joining me, we have best-selling poet and novelist Steve Griffin, based in the Surrey Hills, on the line to talk about his latest published book, The Boy in the Burgundy Hood. Morning, Steve.
Morning, Laura.
So, Steve, you're no stranger to the show, with this being, what, your third visit now?
Yeah, or second, actually.
No, I think it's third, because we had you on for about Surrey Hills.
You're absolutely right. Sorry, I forgot about that one. Yep, third, you're correct. Sorry
third
about
time
that.
Lucky. And So, I just want to recap for listeners that didn't hear those interviews, and just that you're a published author, and just to give a bit of a bit of background about how you started it out, how you started out as a published author.
To be honest, I've been writing all my life since I was a small child, and I actually first started, getting poems published through sort of like, poetry magazines and things like that. And only really started writing novels again in my kind of 30s. And then, I'm self-published, independently published. So I wrote a book, and I tried, got an agent for that, but then couldn't quite get a sale through to a publisher. So I decided to publish myself after another break. And then basically I've just taken it from there. And, to be honest, it's great. I love it. You've got the control over the publishing. And, I've been putting out about a novel a year since 2014, the first one.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, I'm sure it's no mean feat getting your stuff published at all, just hearing, especially as you're an independent as well.
Yeah, that's right. It takes a lot of effort, but it's very rewarding, I think.
Sure, and...
I think if you know you... Sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
If you know you want to do it, you do it, I think. I think there are people who are, like, born to write. I feel like I'm one of them.
Yeah, I wish I was. you mentioned previously on the show that you were working on a ghost story that had a difference, and ta-da, the book it's been published, hasn't it? The Boy in the Burgundy
That's
Hood.
Right.
Tell
That's
us
right.
more
yeah,
about the
yeah.
book.
Okay, sure. So it's about a woman, Alice Deaton, who can't believe her luck when she lands a dream job as a property manager at this medieval English manor house deep in the countryside. What's happened is the previous owners, an elderly couple, are mired in debt, and they've had to transfer the ownership of the house to a public heritage trust. And in the process of doing this, they've negotiated that they can still carry on living in the property. So Alice moves in and has to live alongside them. And it all sounds fairly straightforward to start off with. But then the ghosts start appearing. There's a woman with a wounded hand and a boy in a burgundy hood. And Alice starts to suspect that this could be the reason why her predecessor left so soon after starting. Coupled with the fact that, she's got these quite tricksy elderly couple who are living alongside her in the house as well. Mm. But the difference that you alluded to is the fact that, she might be scared of a few things, but one thing Alice isn't scared of is ghosts. And there's a particular reason for that, which I can't actually give away. You have to read the story to find out why. but that means as soon as the ghosts start appearing, she wants to solve the mystery of them and why they're there. And that leads her into a whole load of secrets that are hidden in Bramley's history, and turned out to be some very dark secrets as the novel progresses. Mm.
I love it. And, because previously you were telling us about, you'd written books for a younger audience, hadn't you? The Secret of the Turthers. So you're
That's
having
right.
the next piece aimed at adults. Was it harder to write for an adult audience?
I think it was. It took me longer to get this book, to write this book and to edit it and all those kind of things. It's longer, and B, you just have to, things have to be pitched differently, and it was a bit of a turnaround. I got used to get to putting the other books out quite regularly, and this one took a little bit more thought and care, it took me a while longer.
Okay, I'm just going to read out a review actually somebody's put up online, and They basically, somebody called Silversmith says, the story gripped me throughout, not only because of the plot, but also because it is very well written. The author has a gift describing locations which really brings them to life in one's mind. Where did you get your inspirations to write, Steve?
Oh, gosh, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, you know, this book, starting at a very particular level, this book, yeah, I was inspired by a National Trust property called Item Moat in Kent. So, you know, I did a couple of visits there and really enjoyed the soaking in the atmosphere there, because that's a medieval manor house, and it's moated, and it's got lovely grounds and woods and a lake and things. So you know, that was a very strong inspiration on this. So observing that, you know, and actually the story setting, bizarrely enough, was based on a sort of kicked off from a job interview that my wife went for with a heritage trust, and actually it was a very similar setup where the owners were still resident. So those two things together were the start off of this.
Okay.
One, yeah.
And is it a standalone book, or do we expect more to come?
It is standalone. Yeah, absolutely. It was written standalone. But having said that, the way it finished, you know, and to be honest, it surprised me slightly, but the way it finished is there is an opening there, so there could potentially be a sequel.
Oh, okay.
Not planned at the moment, but possible, yeah.
You need to get yourself to a few more National Heritage Trust places.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So you had a book signing yesterday in Leatherhead. How did that go?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, I was talking to some people there. Somebody got the anticipated question, which was, do you believe in ghosts? it was really nice. Met some lovely people. Really good chat. So some books, which is great, which is always good as well.
Yeah, it must be.
So, you know, people coming in for Christmas presents for younger members of the family as well, or buying the other books as well, the Tiers books that you mentioned.
And getting it signed as well. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, you've kindly agreed to read an extract from your book. Would you mind doing that for us?
Yeah, no problems. Yeah, yes. Shall I take it away?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so just a bit of context then. So Alice has moved into the house. She has already seen briefly the boy in the burgundy hood, the ghost boy. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, it's been fairly okay. But there's something that has just, the day before this scene, has triggered a bad memory from her childhood of loss of a family member when she was quite distraught and panicky, and that's come back to her. And so this scene is set in her bedroom. She's waking up, and so it was the first thing on her mind when she awoke in the middle of that night: the terror, a mass of dark eyeless vipers striking, seething, writhing through the shallows of her mind. She fumbled across the bedside table for her phone, needing artificial light. Momentarily, she felt it slip against the edge of her palm. She'd failed to grab it. There was a clunk as the phone hit the floor. She propped herself up on an elbow, then realized she was not alone. The room was black, almost pitch black, despite the fact she hadn't bothered to draw the curtains. But no matter how dark a space, you could always tell when someone is in the room with you. Someone a few paces away, standing near the fireplace. Wasn't there? Her heart felt like someone was squeezing it, quick as they could. Like her mum's balloon pump, when the group for her little daughter's party arrived early. "Who's there?" she said. She felt a rustle, a movement in the air, like the shift of a chiffon gown on the floor. Slowly, steadily, keeping her eyes fixed on the place she knew the mantelpiece to be, she reached down to feel for her phone on the floor. Had one of the Smythe Johnsons come into her room? Had she locked the door? Was Samantha, or worse still, Bernard, standing there watching her in bed? What would they do that for? Oh, God, no. There was noise as the phone scraped along the floor. Immediately she grabbed it, awkwardly but firmly enough to lift it. Then she was shaking it. No, the wrong end. It wouldn't work that way. Turning it, fumbling, shaking it again. The fierce little light broke the room's night. Alice shrieked. There was a woman standing in her room. She was wearing a dark, patterned dress. Her hair, her eyes were dark too. She was watching Alice in her bed. Alice felt her skin moving all over her body. Her mouth was dry. What do you want? And that's it. There we go.
That was brilliant. Do you know what? I actually felt the hairs on my neck go. So
I'm good. That's the desired effect.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. So before you go, any plans for 2020?
Well, I will be writing some more, but to be honest, actually, I'm going to take the Christmas period to think about what I'm going to write next. I've got a few ideas and a possible sequel to this, as I mentioned, all possibilities. So something will be coming out. And there's I also write some poetry as well, and I've got one poetry book out, so another poetry book is likely.
Okay, brilliant. So if our listeners want to buy your Burgundy Hood ghost story,
Boy in the Burgundy Hood, yeah.
The boy in the Burgundy Hood. How do they do that?
So the best place to get it is published through Amazon. So the best place to get it is on directly off Amazon. So it's on Kindle Unlimited, Kindle, and you can get paperback copy as well.
Oh, brilliant. And Steve, you're on social media, aren't you? You're on Twitter and...
Yeah, very much so. Twitter, Goodreads, Instagram, Facebook. The Instagram is and Facebook is at stevegriffin.author. And Twitter is at stevegriffin40.
Wonderful.
And I've got a website, steve-griffin.com.
Okay, so many ways to find you, and we'll be sharing out the link to this show afterwards as well, so if anyone wants to get those details again, they can get them from that as well.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much for coming on, Steve. Absolutely lovely hearing that extract as well. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you, Dara.
Do you know, we're gonna play a little bit of Paul Weller next and books. I think that's quite apt, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Brilliant, thanks so
I like
much.
Paul Weller.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you,
Lara. Thank you, take care, bye bye.
Okay, bye bye.